People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. This is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note here on Fine Music Radio. Have you been to the show called Kinky Boots, the hit musical at the Fugard Theatre? If you haven't, you really should, and don't despair, because I've just discovered that the run for the final time has been extended right up until the 2nd of February 2020. That means it's going to be in Cape Town over the Christmas and New Year season. Now, this is presented by Eric Abram and the Fugard Theatre. It's the first non-replica production of the show and a brand new South African original production of what's described as a huge-hearted smash hit musical. And from its origin as a 2005 movie inspired by the true story of an ailing Northampton shoe factory which changes its fortunes, catering to a niche market, to its rebirth in 2013 as a multiple award-winning Broadway musical. This is Kinky Boots, remaining a subversive celebration of resistance and acceptance. And I think I can safely say that the lead role is played by Earl Gregory, the role of Lola and Simon. And Earl Gregory is with me in the People of Note studio. Earl, welcome. It's great to have you here in the FMR studios.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, good. Are you nervous? I hope you're terribly nervous.
I'm terribly nervous. I'm shaking in my boots.
Talking about boots, yes, nothing like the ones on stage. But we're going to get to that. How do you feel as a performer? I mean, this show's been running now for a few months, hasn't it? When you get the news that it's been extended as far as the 2nd of February, do you think, oh no, how am I going to cope? What do you think? Oh, yay.
A little bit of both.
Okay, I can understand that.
You know what? The repetition of what we do as performers can weigh down quite heavily on your mental psyche, because they say there's nothing that creates insanity like repetition.
Yes, that's true.
You know, so you have to find ways of inspiring yourself and being inspired and being upbeat and excited about what you do. But yeah, it's been such a beautiful gift, the show. We've been running for 5 months. Now this is going into our 6th month. We were supposed to end on the 27th of this month, but people have just been flocking to the show, which is quite a rare thing in South Africa, because usually our runs are about 6 months long. So I think for any musical theatre performer in this country to go beyond that, it's something new as well. And I mean, I've been fortunate in my career to have done a long-running show which extended beyond a year, and that was Cats the Musical, which toured in South Korea. So I kind of have the emotional, mental, and physical chops to do the job, you know.
Because I suppose you have to remember that every night the audience is new. Well, every mostly, I gather you're getting lots of returns, but there are people spending lots of money coming for the first time, and you have to give of your absolute best for them.
100% every night, and I mean, everyone sitting in that seat is as important as an important VIP guest.
And,
you know.
And Earl, it's a very physical show, isn't it, as well? It's very high energy, all that sort of thing, so it must take it out of you as well.
It's tremendously physical, and I mean, it starts with just getting into the drag makeup. That in and of itself is quite something. Sorry, I'm going to revert back to Cats a lot as well.
Yes, well, that was interview.
I always thought that was quite tedious, because you know, losing your human face and becoming a feline was quite challenging. But drag takes it to a whole nother level. But on the one side, there's something quite beautiful about it as well, because with each layer that you apply of makeup, it's just, you can feel a piece of yourself leaving the room. Oh, and it's so beautiful seeing the transformation and how it fuels you as well. So irregardless of what you feel like on any given day, you're becoming a different person, and that person does not have your fears, your anxieties, your stresses, your issues in life.
Doesn't have to pay the rent, buy the food.
Yeah, so it's quite fascinating.
How long does it take you to get ready for a performance?
So if I can just give you an example.
Yes,
for
please.
A matinee, let's say, a 3 o'clock matinee. Most people would arrive to the theater at about 1.
You mean p.m.?
1 p.m., yes. but you have to get there about 2 hours before.
Oh, really?
So it's a really, really long day. And then you get prepped in your makeup, and then it's the physical aspect of it, and then warming your voice up and... Yeah.
But now, what I am a bit confused, and I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. I can confess that now, but I'm going to be there, you'll see.
I shall hold you to that. The Fugard Theatre is very small, so I can see everyone in the audience.
That is true. That's rather scary, actually. But there are two characters I mentioned, Lola and Simon. Mm-hmm. Now, just explain what that means.
Well,
how does that work?
In essence, it's one person, if you will. If you would imagine you to have multiple personalities, you know, like by day you are you and by evening you are your persona. And it's quite fascinating seeing the duality between the two. Mm-hmm. Because Lola is this fabulous drag queen who lives this exciting life, and she performs at the Blue Angel nightclub. And, you know, she's got her backup dancers, which are her angels. And, you know, she creates this fantasy for herself every day, and it's an escape from reality, if you will. And then when all of that comes off, she has to be her real self, which is Simon, who is a man who is the complete and opposite, or the antithesis to Lola, you know, a normal bloke, really. Yeah. And I think what makes this character so fascinating is that people immediately assume that Lola, by mere virtue of being a drag queen, is a homosexual, but he's actually a straight bloke as well, yeah. You know, who just happens to enjoy dressing up as a woman.
I want to talk to you in the course of this interview about this whole drag concept. I have mm-hmm. some things to say to you, but we'll get there. So just quickly before your first piece of music then, when you convert to Simon, surely you don't take your makeup off, because that would be too time-consuming.
I don't have time to change my makeup. Billy Porter, who played Lola and Simon on Broadway, has a whole entourage of makeup artists, so that just added onto his track, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is because I just put on boy drag, is what we call it. So I'll go from extreme feminine drag into boy drag. But it also helps because you move differently when you put on masculine clothes as opposed to wearing female clothes.
I'm sure. Yeah. Earl Gregory, what is your first piece of music?
So my first piece of music is, I've seen that face before, by Grace Jones, who is, she is my icon and my inspiration for my Lola. And I don't think you get an artist like this in this era that we're in now. I mean, I think the closest that you will get to someone like Grace Jones now would be a Lady Gaga. But she was a Lady Gaga before there was Lady Gaga. She was breaking boundaries. And just in terms of her music as well, I think anyone in the sound world would be able to tell you. It is an audio masterclass if you listen to it on a proper sound system, just the mastering of her music. So, I've chosen I've Seen That Face Before by Grace Jones. Thank you.
music dripping from the bar. Tu cherches quoi? On raconterait la mort. Tu te prends pour qui? Toi aussi, tu détestes la vie. Sa chambre, Joël et sa valise, on regarde sur ses fringues, sur les murs de photos, sans regret, sans mélange. La porte est claquée, Joël est barré.
We heard Grace Jones on Fine Music Radio. What was that song called, Earl?
I've seen that face before, Liber Tango.
And we are talking to Earl Gregory, who is in this hugely successful musical, Kinky Boots, at the Fugard Theatre, which has now been extended till the 2nd of February due to genuine public demand, not just
huge popular demand.
Yeah. And Earl plays the role of Lola and of Simon. In the show, the lead role, I think we can safely say. Do you know what I wanted to ask you while we're on the subject of drag? Because you were talking about getting into character and getting out of character. I have to say that I personally I've not ever been a drag enthusiast, mm-hmm. but I've, for example, Brendan Van Rijn is not only one of our presenters, but a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And I've always found it tricky. Why would a man want to dress up as a woman? And it also seems, doesn't seem to be a homosexual thing, as you said earlier. In fact, am I right in saying that it's mostly straight men who like drag? And do you know why that is? Because I don't.
Oh, that is such a fascinating question. And I think it can go in so many amazing directions. I think for me, being an actor portraying a drag queen, it's also like I can't really answer it because I'm discovering as I go as well, and I'm learning things about myself as a human being. But I mean, historically, if you think of how far drag has come along, drag has always been used to entertain the masses, you know, during the war times. Mm. And there was always something quite appealing about men in drag. And then it went underground for the longest time. So it was quite taboo to be a drag queen. And then I think in terms of the liberation of the LGBTQ movement, you know, drag queens were the first people on the forefront for the fight of, you know, equal rights for all, not just drag queens. And, to a certain degree, I think it's quite sad because drag queens are still, I wouldn't say have a bad rap, but yes, in 2019, it's gone more mainstream, which is beautiful, you know, and I think people are more accepting to it. But
because it's very different, isn't it, from if you think of Peter Dirk Ace, for example, who for years has had Evita Bazenote, and Barry Humphries in Australia, Dame, what was her name? Edna.
Dame Edna
Everidge. But that's a different sort of drag, isn't it? The drag we're talking about is sort of like a glitzy show, which is meant to take you away from your worldly worries and things and transport you into a fantasy era where it doesn't perhaps matter who's male and female. Is that something? Is there something in that?
It's so tricky.
No, I can tell. But to help you out of that, you're not, I mean, you are not a drag artist as such.
No,
you happen to be an actor who is playing a drag person at the moment. Because as far as I can see, and from the many things you've done, you've worked with Peter Turin quite a lot, haven't you? Like in Cats, for example.
Yes.
So you're very versatile in a whole lot of roles.
Yeah, people call me a chameleon just because I fluctuate between so many different roles, you know, and it's such a beautiful gift. And I'm so grateful to someone like Peter Turin, who is such an incredible man, and like his legacy that he has left or is going to leave behind is just, we're going to be talking about it for years. I mean, he gave me my first big break in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and he took quite a big gamble taking a unknown young chap fresh out of university and putting him in a starring role, you know. So
what role did you play in Joseph?
I played Joseph.
You play Joseph?
Yeah, and I mean that role is usually played by a famous celebrity, and it always has. And I think where we were in South Africa at the time, he also took a gamble by casting a person of color, because I don't think it had really been done as well. So it was,
when was that, Earl? Was that
2004?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just graduated from Technicolor.
Because he has, of course, recently redone it, hasn't he, about a year or two ago.
And I did that one as well.
Were you in that one as well?
Yes.
But you've been in all sorts of things like Hair and Puss in Boots and all
and
sorts of things.
Jesus Christ Superstar and Hairspray, and I've done a play as well, which was quite fascinating.
Now, which do you prefer? Do you prefer the musicals or do you prefer a straight play?
I prefer musicals because it's my security and it's what I've been doing. But there's something quite vulnerable about the stripped downness of a play, because you don't have all the other elements like, you know, the singing, the dancing, the costumes to distract an audience, and it's just about telling the story. So
And it could be sort of quite an intense tragedy.
Yeah.
Or it could be a comedy.
Yeah.
And would you have a preference? Have you done both?
The play that I did was quite serious, which was different for me because, I mean, I have a background in musical theatre, which is in essence musical comedy, if you will. But I discovered that I'm actually a very good dramatic actor.
Okay.
So, I mean, if
that's useful.
If there are roles out there for me that are more serious, I would love to explore that a little bit more. But
like Shakespeare Maynard.
Not Shakespeare. I'm not really a Shakespeare fan.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not one of those
actors.
You'll
be forgiven, yes. I should say. Let's have your second choice. What's your second choice?
My second choice is my favorite Get Up and Go song. So when I wake up in the mornings, I always like to feel inspired and happy. And it is a song by Desiree called What's Your Sign? And I mean, it's just beautiful. The song says everyone has a sign, you know, and we all have a sign. And that's kind of like our mark, our imprint on our journey in life and what we bring to our sign.
Okay, let's listen.
What's your sign? Do you know? Let me guess, you're Scorpio. What's your rising? Where's your moon? Scorpios are pretty cool. See, I'm a sage, so they say. I'm a butterfly, I like to play. I'm always aiming into the sky. I point my arrow
The artist there was Desiree. What's Your Sign was the name of that song, and apparently a get-up-and-go song for my guest, Earl Gregory, with me in People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio. He's in the show, the hit musical Kinky Boots, which has just been extended to the 2nd of February 2020 at the Fugard Theatre. You know, Earl, I think it's time to discover a little bit about yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
You've been very open about your roles and the things you've done. How did this all begin? What sort of background do you come from?
I come from a very small mining community. Well, I think historically it was a mining community on the East Rand called Boksburg.
Oh, yes. We all know Boksburg.
Yes. So everyone flooded there during the gold rush. You know, it was, everything happened in Joburg, but Boksburg was where a lot of all of that happened as well. So I grew up there. Spent my early years in Boksburg, and then my parents moved further away to start their lives in Geluksdal, which is just outside of Springs, which was very far away from everything. And then my parents were kind of struggling to, because it was very far away for everything, to kind of make ends meet. And I was sent back to Boksburg, and I was raised by my grandmother, who is a very staunch Catholic woman. And you know what the Catholics are like, you know, they're very, very strict. And I think my grandmother was raised in a Catholic school by nuns. So I was raised in a very strict manner. You know, you always have to be well behaved and well put together. And
nothing wrong with that, may I say.
You know, which is something that people are lacking in nowadays. And I think young people more so with the time we're living in. But I'm so grateful for that, because I think it's just made me the person I am today, you know, a respectable human being.
So where did the theatre bug come from, or the singing or dancing bug? How soon did that begin in your life?
I think it happened quite early on in my life. I've always been very theatrical, entertaining my family at home, you know, like singing a song for my dad for 5 rand, if you will.
So you were entrepreneurial even then?
I was very, very entrepreneurial, and I always had to put on a little show. But also very shy and very introverted. Like in this family space, I would do things like that. But my talent was kind of like my secret, which I kind of just shared with myself. And my mom would often hear me sing, and she's like, wow, this kid really has talent. And my mom also grew up in the church, and she kind of didn't put pressure on me. But you know, when a parent discovers that their child has got talent, they want everyone to share and enjoy the talent, whether they're good or not. And I mean, it's been very humbling, because my mom is my biggest fan. My parents are my biggest fans.
Have they come to Cape Town to see your show?
They haven't, but they will be out in December, which I'm very excited about.
Because am I right in saying, just to move away from that briefly, Kinky Boots, unfortunately, is not going to Johannesburg. It's our secret in Cape Town.
It's our beautiful secret. Thank you to all the people from Joburg that have flown down specially to come and watch this
show. Has that been happening?
It has been happening. People from Durban as well, who have flown down multiple times. So if anyone from Durban is listening, I can't remember your names, but thank you so much.
For coming down.
Yeah.
So, and then through school and all that, did you start taking singing lessons or acting lessons, or what did you do training-wise?
So very, very beautiful thing. And I always give tribute to a very incredible woman. I'm going to get a little bit emotional, because she just passed away quite recently. Sandra Labuschagne. I remember being in primary school, and I was friends with her granddaughter, and her granddaughter was just obsessed with me, because we did school, I Stetfords, and you know, talent shows together at school. And she's like, Gran, like, this kid is amazing, and like, you're a singing teacher, and let him come to our house. And she just took me under her wing, and you know, gave me singing lessons for free. And also at a time in South Africa where white people and black people were not really integrated, and we live in, like, I grew up in an informal settlement, and I mean, sorry, I'm getting very emotional.
Okay.
Because she was just such an incredible woman.
Where did she live?
In Sunny Ridge in Primrose.
In Johannesburg?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And she taught from home as well?
She taught from home, yes. Okay. And she organized me a piano and everything. Sandra, if you're listening, because she was a spiritualist, so she probably is listening right now. I still can't play the piano, but thank you so much.
But she taught you to sing.
She taught me to sing, yes.
And
I've gone on to have a beautiful career with beautiful opportunities. I've performed internationally in incredible theatres.
Have you been overseas and all that?
Yeah, primarily in Asia, because a lot of touring productions of the big shows that you get to see in South Africa go.
Those are those Peter Turin productions.
The Peter Turin, and Peter Turin collaborates with a lot of international producers.
I mean, I was amazed that Matilda is still running.
Oh, wasn't it just a lovely show?
Great. Yeah. And I met Louis Zurnheimer the other night, and he was on a break because they couldn't go to Hong Kong because of the protests there, so they had 6 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, Matilda, saw that a century ago, and yet they're still doing it around the world. So that's what you call a long run.
Yeah.
And then did you go to university, or what happened then?
I did. So actually, I had this idea in my mind that I was going to be, you know, a big dramatic actor. And I went for an audition at Technikon Pretoria, which is now called TUT. And I did an audition at the drama department, and it just went terribly wrong. I don't even think I can remember the monologue. And then I think, because, I mean, as you can see just by talking to me, your viewers won't be able to see me, but the people who have seen me in Kinky Boots will know that I have a very expressive face, which works brilliantly for theatre. I think I was a little bit too dramatic for the drama course, and they said, you're a little bit too theatrical, maybe you should try musical theater. So I thought, you know, I want to have a career in the arts, I'm gonna give it a bash. And then I also came into contact with an amazing woman, Vicky Karras, who was a prima ballerina, and she headed Technikon Pretoria at the time, and she saw something in me, and I haven't looked back. I've had incredible opportunities.
So can you also dance?
I wouldn't consider myself a, you know, a dancer in a royal ballet sense, but I can move very well.
Yeah. Yes. Does kinky boots require that as well?
It sure does. In 6-inch high heels.
Let's talk about your heels in a moment. What's your next piece of music I see here?
Okay. So the next one is...
The Lauren Bacall.
Lauren Bacall. Yeah, there's just something about the song that appeals to me. It's also a feel-good, get-up-and-go kind of song when I'm feeling it a little bit down in the dumps. It's just a reminder to celebrate being alive.
What's it called?
It's called But Alive. Yeah.
Okay, Lauren Bacall. Yeah. Right, let's listen to Lauren Bacall.
I feel groggy and weary and tragic, punchy and bleary and fresh out of magic, but alive, but alive, but alive. I feel twitchy and bitchy and manic, calm and collected and choking with panic, but alive, but alive, but alive. I'm a thousand different people. Okay, but at least I feel. And I feel rotten, you're covered with roses, younger than springtime and older than Moses. Frisky as a lamb,
la, la, la.
Lazy as a clown,
la, la, la.
Crazy, but I am alive. Mellow, firm as Gibraltar and shaky as Jell-O, but alive, but alive, but alive. I feel half Tijuana, half Boston, partly Jane Fonda and partly Jane Austen, but alive. That's the thing, but alive. This kaleidoscope of feelings whirls around inside my brain. I admit I'm slightly cuckoo, but it's dull to be too sane. And I feel brilliant and brash and bombastic, limp as a puppet and simply fantastic, but alive, but alive, but alive.
Wasn't that just the most fun in one song?
I don't want to sound stupid, but I don't think I've ever heard her sing before.
Well, I don't know if it is her. I think it's just the show is a tribute to
Lauren Bacall. Yeah. Ah, well, that makes sense. But Alive, it was called. My guest seems very much alive. Earl Gregory, who's playing the dual role of Lola and Simon in the hit musical Kinky Boots on at the Fugard Theatre right through until the 2nd of February. Gosh, you're going to be busy over Christmas and New Year. Mm-hmm. No party. Well, I suppose you said it takes you a long time to come down after the show and it's interfering with your sleeping pattern. Tell me about that, because with the energy and the adrenaline.
Yeah, can you see me pulling my grumpy face? No, but it's such a beautiful sacrifice, especially when I see how the show is impacting and affecting people for good and for bad. It's really nice to see heterosexual people seeing themselves portrayed and having a moment of epiphany and realizing that, you know, in essence, we're all the same, you know, and we all do drag. Not everyone might wear like a dress to do it, but life is a drag, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I saw a quote, which I'm going to read to you now, which I found very interesting about this whole drag concept. I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
It says here, it takes a man to wear a woman's dress and perform femininity in a world being held hostage by mentally fragile but physically dangerous toxic masculinity. Goes on to say, Trump, Putin, Zuma, Boris Johnson, Berlusconi, Floyd Chivambu, Modi are only a few examples of this brand of masculinity that oozes covert and overt threat towards anything and anyone which challenges their sense of power and entitlement as big men.
Isn't
now, what do you think of that?
So profound.
Well, it is. When I read it, I had to stop and think. As I said to you before, I sometimes not quite sure what I think of drag. But this shows what it's all about, really. Mm. For a man to wear women's clothes in public with self-contained flair, poise, and confidence, you need a man with courage and confidence to do that.
It's activism, really, that still needs to happen, you know, not. I have so much respect and admiration for women that go through life and have to walk into certain spaces as well and feel vulnerable. But there's something so beautiful in their armor as well, you know, the power and the confidence that comes with putting on a heel or like a power suit, as women would call it, or putting on their makeup. And I think my views are also changing as a homosexual man, you know. I'm realizing that I'm a little bit non-binary now that I'm doing this show. Like I love wearing garments that are a little bit, you know, feminine, and I've done it also just as a challenge for myself, where I would wear something that wouldn't, you know, go with the norm, and I would walk down the street and no one really cares, you know. And
have you done that?
I have done it, and like it was very important for me to do that. I've had one bad experience in Cape Town where I was dressed slightly effeminately, but I will say that I was in the Golden Acre, which is not probably not the best place to be wearing little pum-pum shorts. And this guy just spewed his hate and vitriol, which was a little bit sad. And I mean, he was just being a bully.
How did you deal with it?
I stood my ground, and I told him off, and I think I had a lot of support in that setup in the mall.
I suppose that's bound to happen, isn't
yes,
it, from time
yes.
to time. And it's something that you need to expect and to deal
and
with.
Like, I wanted to do it because in the world of theater, anyone is welcome to express their views and express who they are without judgment. You know, it's a safe space, but once you walk outside of those doors, you walk into the real world, and you can't really be who you want to be. And this is what the show of Kinky Boots is about, being who you want to be, you know, just expressing yourself triumphantly. Like, I'm quoting lines from the show now, but it's a simple thing, but it's challenging for other people as well. And I think as South Africans, we've really come a long way.
And we've got a wonderful constitution.
Yeah, that protects all of that.
I just want to, I mentioned a bit of the story right at the beginning about this chap whose father died, and he was left with this rather failing shoe business. Mm-hmm. And he meets you, mm-hmm. and you come along and get him to go mad with boots, glitter, and is that basically what it's all about?
That's pretty much what it's about. But it shows the humanity as well, you know. It's so much more than just Lola helping Charlie save his factory, because it's so much more layered than just saving the factory. It's a whole community of people that have been a part of this bespoke shoemaking factory, like a legacy of people, you know, that have put their children through school and university, and they've got bills and they've got responsibilities. And this it takes a drag queen to come into this world and to fix it, but also teach people who may have had preconceived ideas of what it is to be a drag queen and see it in a different light and just see the human side of it. Mm-hmm. And that is what is so beautiful and rewarding for me doing the show. And it's a gift and it's a sacrifice to be in this place and in this time and seeing what it's doing. Because, I mean, we've had people from varying, you know, backgrounds.
Have you had people walk out?
We haven't. But there was just this past weekend, there was a guy, I don't think he listens to Fine Music Radio because he doesn't look like the type that listens to Fine Music Radio. But he just looked so uncomfortable sitting there. And you know what? That was also okay. And I remember being so affected by him and thinking, I really hope that he gets the story by the end of this, because it's not just about men in dresses.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you see him afterwards?
I didn't see him afterwards. He could not jump out of his seat fast enough. But I mean, that's okay. So you get people like that as well, and that's okay.
It's bound to happen, as we said about it. There's a quote from Marion Tam, the Daily Maverick critic, which I really like. If the real world feels like a cold and nasty place, see this musical, which shows us the way to greater humanity and the potential for a better world. Mm. So they speak about it being liberating, multi-layered. I mean, this is clearly its winning streak. Who wrote the music?
Cyndi Lauper.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I think Harvey Fursan. I don't know if he was involved with the lyrics, but all the music was done by Cyndi Lauper. Yeah.
And is it great music to sing?
Oh, it is feel-good music, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, even for me, who has done the show for 6 months now, sometimes when I get home, I just feel like I'm going crazy because the music is on loop, and I have to listen to other music, you know, just to get it off the brain.
Yes, yes. I'm sure, by the way, you must try and do something different during the day to try and be able to be fresh in the evening.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if this music is going round and round, mm-hmm. might get a bit boring for you, mm-hmm. and then it'll be boring for us. Mm. Tell me about high heel shoes. You said that you're in 6-inch heels, mm-hmm. or centimeter, and that must be rather difficult if you're dancing and you're a man.
Yeah, because high heels are not made to withstand the weight of a man, and I think for myself and my angels in the show, none of us have ever done drag professionally, so it's really quite challenging, and like realize the strength that you need to do what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, women have been coming and they have just been gagging over our legs, and but it's just because we are dancing in them all the time, so it really shapes and tones your legs and your calves. So they all ask us what we do, you know, to get our bodies in such fine shape, and I say, well, you just spend, because during the rehearsals we rehearse from 9 a.m. to 6 a.m. and it was a thing between myself and the angels to rehearse for the full day, with the exception of our lunch breaks, to be in heels the whole time.
So you can. Gosh, so you really get used to it. Yeah.
Well, no, you never get used to it.
Okay.
That is the interesting thing. I think it's like going to the gym as well. Your muscles have a resistance to the pain, but the pain is always there.
Okay. Well, let's forget about pain and choose your next piece of music. Children of Eden, what is this all about?
So this is from one of my favorite musicals, and it's basically the story of Adam and Eve and creation, and it's just a beautiful song that resonates with me, and the lyrics speak so beautifully. I always think of what life would be like in a post-apocalyptic society, you know.
And what's it called?
In whatever time we have. So it's all about cherishing the time you have on this earth and making the most of it. And yeah.
I don't give a damn for the thunder of fathers, come hell or high water, whatever they do. How could I live in a world? Whatever time we have, for as long as we are living, we can face whatever comes. If we face it now as one, I could make it on my own. Let me know that I don't have to. No one really wants to be alone. In whatever time we have, if at times we are afraid, with so little to believe in, it's alright to feel afraid. I will hold you in the dark. All we know for sure is this: though the world could end tomorrow, you and I will be together in whatever time
we have. For as long as we are living,
we know life can't be a battlefield.
But we won't run
and we won't heal. You'll be my fortress and I will be your shield.
No one really wants to be alone. In whatever time we have, there are times I've been afraid. In a world that's so uncertain, then I feel your hand in mine, and there's courage in my
could live 100 years,
or the world could end tomorrow,
but we know we'll be together in whatever time.
About that, in whatever time we have, Children of Eden. Another interesting selection from my guest, Earl Gregory, who, as I've said, is playing in this musical, Kinky Boots, a hit musical which has been extended until the 2nd of February. And listen to this quote. You must have seen this, Earl. At its warm heart, Kinky Boots is about rearranging mental deck chairs. Well, at least for those whose minds have not atrophied beyond salvation, which is basically what you've been saying as well through the year. Just tell me a little bit more about the show. It's got a very big cast.
Yeah, the Fugard has really taken on quite a huge feat by putting this production on.
In that small theatre.
As you know, it's intimate, it's lovely, it's got a great feel about it. But if you think of the scale and the enormity of what we are doing in that space, it just boggles the mind. I'm not sure of the exact number, but we have a cast of about 28 or 30, about the exact number. And then we've got an orchestra, which is our band. It's a very small orchestra, and they are about 6 or 7 band members, and they're on the top level. And then not mentioning our backstage crew, and the backstage area is really, really tiny. And we have lots of quick changes, and it's a whole nother show backstage, really. I think it would be quite fascinating for any audience member to see the madness before we make our entrances onto stage and how seamless we make it look.
Well, that's the whole point of being... And as you say, it's a lovely venue. The shows I've seen, also the entrance where the bar is. It's a bit of history of District 6 as well, and the old church and all that.
Yeah, so it's got a really magical feel about it. Mm. I mean, I don't know the historical background, but just being in that building, in that space, is a really... I'm all about energies, and I really... pick up on the energy of that building.
Earl, is your home Cape Town or Johannesburg?
I wish my home was in Cape Town, but I am based in Johannesburg.
Okay. Well, at least you're down here for a long period of time. But do you get a chance to go back home, or are you here the whole time? There's no time to sort of go back.
Fortunately, we had a break during September because they had an open book festival at the Fugard, which they have every year.
Yes.
So I got to go home and spend time with my dog and my family, which was lovely. But I'm here for the duration until...
Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope you're going to enjoy it. And how do you relax then? You said you might go for a walk on the promenade because, as we said, you're an early riser, mm-hmm. even though you have late nights. But you've got to have a nap, presumably, and prepare to give your best that night for the mm-hmm. audience first time.
Yeah, I always thought I was not living my life and making it all about the show until I saw an interview with Paddy LuPone. And I can't remember his name now, but her co-star from Evita.
Mandy Patinkin.
Yes, that's right. Patinkin. Thank you. And she said she doesn't have much of a life because her sacrifice is the show and she wants to give 110% for the show. And it was like a penny that dropped. I was like, okay, I'm on the right path because
yes.
I want to give each and every audience my ultimate best, because when I go on this journey, it's so multi-layered. I'm playing two different characters, and it's quite taxing on an emotional level, but the story is so important for me, and I want to do it justice, because we only have one chance really in theater to tell a story like this, so it's very important
to me. And
send
people home with a message.
Send people home with a message. So for me, it's very important to start my day with meditation. The first thing I do when I wake up is I'll do like a 20-minute meditation, just giving gratitude for the day and kind of recalibrating my brain for, you know, what is about to happen. And I just kind of let my day go however it pans out. So if it means going to a yoga class, if I'm up for it, I will do that, and then have a little snooze in the day. That's what I'll do. But yeah.
Okay. Well, we need to close off now. Earl, it's been enriching talking to you and feeling your energy as well and enjoying your music and all you have to say. So best of luck through the festive season. And what you're going to do afterwards, after the run is finished? Have you got any plans yet, or is it secret? Or
it's secret for now. Okay. I'm not allowed to.
No, that's fine. Okay, so what's your last piece of music going to be?
So my last piece of music, a lot of people who know me knows that I'm obsessed with all things Francais. I'm currently teaching myself to speak the language, and it's by one of my favorite pop French groups, and the song is called Borcoton by Zaz.
Okay, Earl Gregory, best of luck and thanks for coming to talk to us.
Thank you for having me. It was really lovely.
Quoi que tu fasses, je ne sais pas ce que ça remplace. Et derrière nous, c'est encore à l'ombre. Faut-il encore qu'on raconte que quelque chose nous revienne? Faut-il qu'on soit seul sur terre, ici aussi? Boire pour la soif, je ne sais pas ce qui de nous deux restera. Tu dis mais je ne regarde pas. Je n'ai jamais vu la mer, mais j'en ai vu des noyés. Comment fais-tu pour oublier, pour oublier? Et la pluie qui revient dans nos voix, pas une chanson, je ne pense à toi. Dans ce monde inhabitable, il vaut mieux danser sur les tables. À Port-Coton qu'on se revoit, se revoir. que ça remplace. Et derrière nous, c'est encore à l'ombre. Aller auprès du phare, et la vie est sans phare. À boire coton, qu'on se revoit. Dans ce monde inhabitable, il vaut mieux danser sur les tables. À boire coton, qu'on se revoit, qu'on se revoit.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
After a worldwide tour of South Africa, Mark Banks' sensational Mark Banks on Iced finally comes to Cape Town at Peter Turin's Theatre on the Bay from October the 23rd for a limited run. Mark Banks on Ice. Over 81 minutes of side-splitting laughter, apparently. Mark Banks on Ice. Book at CompuTicket. T's and C's do not apply whatsoever.